the message was about disciples of the kingdom, about us being more than believers, but that really all of us should have as a goal to be disciples of Christ, to be taught by the Lord, to allow His presence and His teaching to direct us and bring us to a much better place in Christ, in the way that we think, the way we act, that we seek truth. The scripture says that you're disciples indeed if you abide in the Word, and that Word, which is truth, that truth will set us free. So all of that pulls all together, and it's important for us that in the times that we're in, that we're going to be people that continue to move in that particular direction, because there's lots of craziness that we've talked about over and over again that's happening in the world. Kelly sent me something this morning. There's a guy in Russia, out in Siberia, out in the wilderness of Siberia in Russia, and he claims to be the second coming of Jesus, and he has a following. Now, how can that be? You know, he has a following out there, and there's a sizable number of people that have glommed onto this guy.
It's like 25,000.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing number. Now, I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with these people following after this guy? Couldn't he be?
No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't line up.
It doesn't line up with the scripture. In fact, Jesus even says there's going to be many that are going to claim to be the Christ. Right? Right before the end of this age. Well, you know what? If you just know your Bible a little bit, you would recognize truth and a lie. Right? Really important. There's all kinds of fake news, as well as true news that's out there. And you know what? You get inundated, and you go, I don't even know what's true anymore. I wonder if what I'm hearing is actually the truth. You begin to question, and you say, How do I really know? This guy sounds really good. This sounds like there's something to it. And then you find out that, no, that's not it. And then you start questioning yourself, well, what's true and what isn't? Right? Do you know that 10 years ago, now this is a decade ago, they had holograms that you could touch and feel. Everybody know what a hologram is? Yeah, back in 2009, they had a hologram of rain. And you could put your hand underneath where the hologram was, and you would feel the drops of rain. That was 10 years ago. What do you think it's like right now? What do you think they've developed in 10 years? Now, remember, every 6 months, technology doubles. Is that what it is, John? I think it's every 6 months. It used to be every 6 months, technology doubled. It's probably even more, it's probably even faster now. So you can imagine after 10 years, that's 20 times greater than that we're looking at. Oh my gosh. What can they do? How could the kingdoms of this world, who are against the Lord, deceive us with things? Oh. And does Jesus say that about the end of this age? All kinds of deceptions. And in fact, Jesus says, you know, if it was even possible, the very elect would be deceived. So it really behooves us to be people that are really being disciples, that really are looking for truth, have a heart for truth, have a desire. And I love the songs, you know, this fire in burning inside of us for truth. Burning inside of us to really know Jesus. And not become intellectually knowledgeable of what the scriptures say, but that it's something that burns in our hearts. And that isn't something that just casually happens to people. You can hear me say this, and I can speak this, but if I'm not cultivating that in my heart, if you're not cultivating it, if it's just kind of a casual thing, yeah, I'm a Christian, and whoopee, I'm going to heaven, and everything's going to be fine, and well, what does it really matter if I don't know some things, and you know, is it really? So I want to talk about some things today, because it's the truth of the word. It's the truth that sets you free. We can know things and have an understanding between things that we see that are happening in the world by going back and looking at Scripture. Is that right?
Yes.
Let the Scripture be the guide. Yeah.
That's not a coincidence, but this morning, same thing, I just read that. So Mark 13, I was all the way up. Like 4, all the way up to 28 or something. It's all Jesus Christ explaining all of that right there.
All of this. And this is coming upon us in an even faster and faster way. Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you
oh yeah.
You kind of feel that, don't you? You kind of feel like, boy, There's something up. There's something in the air here. And like Reggie had mentioned two, 3 weeks ago, this thing about, you know, I don't think we're really ready the way we need to be ready. And how important it is. And we're not talking about physical readiness, but we are talking about spiritual readiness, emotional readiness, the ability to handle bad situations and not go crazy and blame God, but to have a heart that's centered in Christ, that no matter what happens, we're not going to turn our backs on the very Lord that put out his arms on the cross and died for our sins. That there's something there in us, not up here, in here. Amen. So I want to talk about something. I'm going to use something about the nation of Israel. I'll put together this thing about Israel, and my gosh, it's pretty big. And so I decided I'm not going to give you the whole thing today. I'm just going to get at the heart of this. I'm going to use the people of Israel to give to you what I think God wants us to get. But we're going to look at it through the lens of the people of Israel. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. You're not going to go there. If anybody's at Genesis 12 here, that's next. I'm going to take you someplace else first. So would you go in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians 10. Let's just pray together here before we get started. Lord, I pray that myself, everybody here, that Lord, you would light a fire in us that for truth, being a real willing vessel, a vessel of honor by the way we conduct ourselves. And Lord, that your truth would set us free in the areas that we need that freedom. Lord, help us today, and that it not just be a hearing or some mental exercise, Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch every single heart in hearing range, and Lord, that you would bless us all with the fire of your Spirit, that you would cleanse us, and that you would give us truth and heart. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, truth dispels deception.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Truth dispels ignorance. Mm. What's it mean to be ignorant?
Not aware.
Yeah, you're unaware. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know something that you should know. That's what being ignorant is. Lots of people think ignorant means stupid. No, it doesn't. It just means there's something that you should know, but you don't know. And it's important that you find out. And I think that there's some things here that we're going to cover three different bases at the same time as we go through this. And I'm going to ask you a question. As we start going through these particular scriptures, I'm going to ask you to give a response back, anybody, dealing with the fact of what these scriptures say to you about God, about Israel, and about us. You got that? Three things. So once we get to there, but we're going to read something else first. All right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think you'll see what word pops out there. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 says this: "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Oh, there's that word I just used. Right? I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know something that you should know. And then he goes on and talks about Israel. So there's something about Israel that is going to do something for us. Right now. Right? And so, as we go down through talking about some things about Israel, we're going to learn something about them, but we're also going to learn something about us. And we're also going to learn something about God. And I want to see what the Lord percolates amongst people here. Okay? All right, so I want you to go down. We could read all the rest of the scripture. I had originally chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, but you can read that on your own at some other time. You might want to mark that down and then go back and look at it. But I want us to look at verse 11. Okay, we're going to focus in on verse 11. Okay. Now, all these things happened to them. Happened to who? Israel, right? All these things happened to them for our examples. Oh, we can learn something from somebody else? I'll tell you what. When I was a kid, I had a brother who was 10 months younger than me, Terry. Terry was a little bit more of an aggressive kind of kid than I was. I was a little more timid about doing things or trying things. He'd just go right out and do something. And sometimes he'd do something and my parents would punish him. You know what? I had an example that I learned from. Because Terry would just go right out there and do it. And I always envied that because I never had the chutzpah to do it. But he would. But then I would see whether, hey, that's pretty good. That's going to work. I'm going to do that. But there's a lot of things I learned as examples that poor Terry had to go through that I didn't have to go through. How about you guys? Don't you learn from other people's mistakes? And you also learn from other people making good decisions. You look at somebody and you go, boy, I'd like to be like that. I wish I was like that. You know, it's an example, and you can say, you know what? I like that. I think I'm going to start thinking in the way that person is. Or somebody says, Malcolm, you've got to stop talking like that and yelling at the TV. You know, sometimes people need to say things to you to kind of get you in the right direction, right? And you look at them, and if they're not the kind of person that is yelling at the TV, you have a good example, right? They're not hypocritical. It's one thing I can say about my wife. She's not a hypocrite. When she says something to me, I'm going to listen. Why? Because she's a good example of what she's telling me. Mostly, yeah. No, I think all the time. But we have them for our examples, and they are written. These things that are in this Bible, in the Old Testament, about the Jewish people. It says here that the things that are there are written because they're examples to us. Good examples, bad examples. And we're to learn from both of those. And we're not to be ignorant about it. So we should know things that we get out of the Old Testament that God portrays to us, good and bad, about the Jewish people, because it gives us an example that we can look at. And it says there, they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. We need to look at those things. We're going to find truth there. We can find examples there, good and bad. Or don't you care?
I care.
You know? We need this. We don't want to be ignorant. If I walked up to you and said, you know, you're ignorant about something, I think you'd be offended. Wouldn't you? That word ignorant is not something we like. I wouldn't want somebody to say, you're ignorant about that, Malcolm. It might be the truth. And maybe I need to listen. Right? But nobody, I think, likes to be called ignorant. So let's not be ignorant about the things that are here. Because these things, you know, this is not a dry history and religious book. There are things here that can change the way you look at life and you look at God and you look at your brothers and sisters in Christ and the way you look at the world and everything. This has a lot of truth to it, and that truth can set you and I free.
Yes. Yes.
That's what's important about this. And that's why reading some of these things, I have a hard time reading Leviticus and all the genealogies and but there's still something there that I can get out of that. Mm-hmm. So it's important. It's there for a reason. God didn't put it there so that we get bored. Although we do sometimes. But that says something about us, not about God.
Malcolm?
Yeah.
And the Daily Bread, I think it's coming this week, but there was someone said about the genealogies in the Old Testament that they're there to show you Christ's lineage.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't there, then there could be question about it.
But it's there.
Perfect.
So we're not ignorant.
Yeah.
And there's things about Israel. You say, well, Israel, the Israelis, the Jews, who cares? They're a half a world away. Who cares about what's going on there and what God's done with them in the past? There's reason for it. And there's something we learn by it, and we don't want to be ignorant. So I'm using the Jews as an example here, but there's something I want to go out beyond just having a head knowledge of history or whatever, that we really see what God was doing and saying in particular things. So we're going to go right now to this first scripture. I had this whole presentation, and I do have I made a printout, if you want it, a handout, of each of the slides that I did have, and there's all the information and scriptures and all. I'm not going to go to every one of these. There were 20 slides. I said, no way, there's no way that's going to happen. So I picked, I think, four or five that I'm going to key in on for today's message about Israel, but also about God and about us. Okay? All right. So let's look at this first scripture. All right? This is about what's called the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. This was the first time it's mentioned. And this is what it says in Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your relatives and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. All right, now, what's that say about God? What's that say about Israel? What's that say about us? Anybody want to give a shot at it? Yeah.
Promise them the land, and he will bless them if they go there.
All right, so Israel is promised a piece of real estate. He's promised a piece of land, Israel. Well, Abraham, but Abraham's the nation that he's the progenitor of, which is the nation of Israel. Okay? All right, so that's something that you get out of that for Israel. Israel has a promise from God. Right? The land of Canaan, if you do a whole big study and it's in that, that's the land of Canaan. Okay? What's that tell you about God? From reading this, what do you get about God? Anything that you learn about God in this?
Yeah, he has a plan for Israel.
And not only does he have a plan, God, because of his foreknowledge, knows everything. Mm-hmm. He knows all the choices we're ever going to make. Mm-hmm. He has plans for individuals, and he has plans for nations. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
So I'm sure you know this, right? We don't have to go through all kinds of scriptures on this. But God has plans. He has plans for us. We talked about this a number of weeks ago. God has a plan for you as an individual. And this dovetails into what this says to us. Because it shows us the kind of God that we serve is a God that cares for us, and he has plans for us. He has plans for the nations. He has plans for you and I as individuals. It might be good if we found out what those were. Right?
Yes.
So I'm just saying that maybe this will put a little fire in you to read the Word or to pray to the Lord and say, what is it exactly? What is your plans for me? Just to get up in the morning and go to work for 40 years and have some vacation time here and there and raise a family Is that what it's all about? Is there more, something deeper? Is there something I can learn about being a good father or mother? Is there, what are the things that I need to know, God, about your plan in my life? And when I screw up, we'll talk about that later. Okay. So, I am going to jump now, because I'm not going to go to the next frame. I'm going to go down to frame number 6. This is 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, let's just go back real quick. Just want to show you this. This is the map. The dotted area is the land that's described, all of that inside to the Mediterranean Sea. That was the land promised to Abraham by God. Okay, these are the present day countries as you see them, and this particular map shows the West Bank is not being part of Israel, but it is part of Israel today, but it's not usually recognized that way. But this is the land that Abraham promised to the Jews, just so you know. Okay, come. I must go off of the... Oh, there I am. All right. Yeah, 2 Samuel. So 2 Samuel 7:24 says this: "For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God." What do you get out of that? There's bunches of things. What do you get out of that?
Israel is his forever, not just back then.
Not just back then. Oh, so again, you saw I underlined the word forever, right? Forever. Israel is the Lord's people forever.
Yes.
Forever. Okay? Just to make sure you know this. Alright, so that's one thing that you can get about Israel. What's that say about God?
He loves Israel.
Well, he loves Israel.
He's made them his own people. They're a special people to him.
They're special to him for some reason that God knows, and we can have inklings about, but God knows why. And it says in his foreknowledge, he chose them in some other scripture. Okay? All right, what else can... So, what else do you get about the kind of God that he is? Or what's that saying to us? What's that say about us?
He keeps his promise to Israel.
Oh, he's keeping a promise.
Yeah.
Once he says, "You're mine," he isn't letting go. Now, he might have to punish. You know, when you're a parent, you love your kids. But you know, sometimes they're not so great in the way they act, and you've got to punish them. You might have to send them to their room. You might have to give them a good swat on the backside to get their attention. But that doesn't stop your love, does it? Okay? All right. So Israel is God's people forever. And so God, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Isn't that something? I know. What's that say to us? What's that say to us?
It's true.
Is he the same to us?
Yes.
He doesn't change.
Right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he?
Yes.
So if he's done that for Israel, the things that he's promised us and the things that he said about what's going to happen to us and what's going to be going on in the future and how we're going to be with him forever, can we believe that?
Yes.
Does that give you some good hope inside?
Yeah.
Because when you and I look at this world with our natural eyes, it looks like it's going right down to the you know where.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our analysis of things would say, I don't know, is this really going to happen? Is Jesus really coming back? Are we really going to be able to do this? So that's something that we have to see. What God promises is true. And when he says something, he's going to follow through on it. He's faithful. God is faithful to us, even when we're not faithful. Have you noticed that here we are, we're saved people. We still sin. You know what? God might have to give us a little tap, put a little fire under our hinies, do what he needs to do, send us to our room. But he loves us, and he's not giving up on any one of us. I love that about God. It's good to know this about God. And we can see this through how he treats a nation that really turned away from him. We're going to get to some of that here in just a minute. But we can rest in the fact that when God says something, he's holding us. Doesn't it say that that work that he's begun in us, what's he going to do? He's going to finish it. He who's begun a good work in you will finish it. He's going to do it. Thank you, God. You know, that should give some gratefulness inside of us for the God that we serve. We better have some gratitude toward this Savior, Redeemer that we
have. Okay. All right, so I guess we've done that one. Now I'm going to jump down to... All right. Is this the one I won? Yeah.
Okay, so up in the corner there is a drawing that was showing the idolatry that the Jews got into. This is sacrificing to the Ammonite god Moloch, where the statue that they had, the statue has his arms out, and they would put the babies into the arms of the god, and they would burn them as a sacrifice. So, pretty bad. Pretty bad, right? So they turned away from God numerous times, this chosen people. And this is what, and this is, here's God talking to the Jew, to the apostate Jews. For a mere moment, I have forsaken you. You see what's happening up there?
Yeah.
We would say, they don't deserve anything. Right? And here's God saying, for a mere moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. Now he's talking about them as a nation. Okay? Not as individuals. People that don't come to Christ, let's make this real clear. By the end of everything, the people that don't come to Christ, they're not going to be in heaven. Right? We understand that. Alright. But as a nation, he says, for a mere moment I've forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. What's that say about God? What's that say about God? He's a forgiving God. Boy, he's had a lot to forgive me about, that I've cried out and said, God, please forgive me for that. Right? And so have you. You've done the same thing. He's a forgiving God. Not that we try to take advantage, because boy, he won't let us have it if we try to take advantage of his mercy. But if we see him for who he is, how loving and how merciful and how forgiving he is, that says something. And he was that way with the Jews. They turned their back on him lots of times. Right? The bottom one there. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. Fear not. Why would he say that? Because you know what? You and I, they did, and you and I, we know when we messed up. And we have a fear of what might happen, what God might do to us. Right? Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. He's with us, isn't he? He's speaking to us too here. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you. But I will not make a full end of you. He might have to deal with us in a certain way, but he's not trampling us under his feet. He's having mercy on us. But I will correct you in measure, yet I won't leave you wholly unpunished. He's going to have to do something, right, to satisfy his justice for certain things. But he loves Israel. He's made a covenant with them forever. Right?
Yes.
He loves the church. Mm-hmm. We have a covenant forever. Mm-hmm. We got the covenant of Jesus' blood.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
That's even greater than anything. So, he looks at us, he gets displeased with our attitudes, our ignorance, our all the things that can happen, the different lusts that we have and all of that. But you know what? He still loves us. He'll correct us where he needs to, but he's going to gather us and we're going to be with him forever. Forever.
Okay. All right. Now I got to go down. 3, 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Israel's return to the land. That's the Israeli flag up there. Star David in the middle. Two stripes, blue stripes on a white background. Take the Star David out. That's the colors and the way that the Jewish prayer shawl. That's why they use that. That's the Jewish prayer shawl. And then the Star of David, you know what that is. Okay. And we can, that's another story all in itself. Okay. So, Jeremiah 31. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says it again. Okay? You're with me here? You're okay, right? You're okay. All right. Because it might be things you already know. I'm sorry, but it's good as a rehearsal anyway to go back and... Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth. And there is hope in your end, says the Lord, that your children shall come again to their own border. So after the Romans destroyed and scattered them, who brought them back to the land? Because they got country, don't they?
Yes.
Who brought them back? Who brought them back? Did they bring themselves back?
No.
I think it says, I will bring them from the north country. Now, do you know something here? I want to make sure that you understand this, because this is one thing I wanted to make sure this got brought out. God says that he brought them back. Does God use people
yes.
to get things done in this physical world? Yeah, he moves on people, and people sense something, and they say, wow, the Jews, the Holocaust, we need to do something about that. It wasn't just a thought that came into our human mind. This was God moving on people that were open to his spirit, because he wanted to bring them from the areas of the world back to Israel. It was him. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't somebody else. They were the vessels that God used to bring about his purposes. Okay? Is everybody clear?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, what's that say about God, and what's that say to us? But we just said what? That pretty much says what's going on with Israel. So, what kind of application do we get here? What's that say about God? Let's start there. What's that say about God, Bob?
Trust in the Lord.
All right, that he's trustworthy. He
says something, he's going to do it, right? And it's an everlasting love that that he has.
Loving kindness.
We have his loving kindness there.
That he uses other people.
There we go.
Bring us back when we walk away. Sometimes.
Yes. And that's why it's important for us to, that when somebody says something to us, that we don't just brush people's comments aside. That we really do, we really do listen to one another. Right? Because God uses other people to get things across to others. Yeah.
And I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth. He'll move heaven and earth to accomplish his will, but he'll also use circumstances.
Yes.
Like the Holocaust.
Right.
A terrible suffering for the Jews, but it did bring them back to fulfill that promise.
Not so much that God made the Holocaust, but God used what the evil that was in Hitler's and other people's hearts toward the Jews. God said, I'm going to take that and I'm going to turn it to my purposes. I'm going to turn that to good. God doesn't act in an evil manner, but when evil that comes from the enemy comes in, whether it's situations that happen in your family, that's not God. But God will use things to work something good in you or in the other people. And that's something we have to say, yeah, God, I can't stand this. I don't like what's going on here. But Lord, take this and turn it to good.
Yes.
That's how we have to turn our attention when these kinds of things happen. When bad things happen. Okay? All right. Good. Everybody clear on that? So we can see something that happened with Israel. We can see the heart of God in it. And we can see how that applies to us too. Right? I'm almost done. Okay. So, I am going to jump down. Yeah. Okay. So, the church. How should we think of Israel?
The same way God does.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the same way God does, right? Alright, so we already see how God looks at Israel. Right? And this paper, there's a whole bunch more scriptures on here. And the people that were in the Wednesday Bible study, I had even other scriptures besides what are here on theirs. So, I mean, there's plenty out there. I'm giving you the shortened version of this today. And you can use this. I'll pass this out to you after I'm finished. Anybody that wants it, you don't have to have it. Okay? So, this is what it says. This is how Paul is talking to Roman Christians, and he says this: Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. He was talking about the olive tree. There's an olive tree right there. The olive tree. And how the church was grafted into the olive tree. Okay? So he was talking about this as a mystery. That God has the people of Israel that he has particular purposes for. And he has the church. The people that believe in Jesus as the Messiah, Savior, Son of God, future King. King now, really. And these two groups, he said, there's a mystery there. There's something that's hard to understand. But he says, I don't want you to be, what's that word?
Ignorant.
There's that ignorant word again. This is something, in other words, this is something you should know as a Christian. And if you don't know it, you're ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know this. This is what he said. Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Because there's a big movement in the Christian church, especially in America, but across the world, that it's called replacement theology. It says the Jews are no longer God's people. They're thrown out because they've rejected the Messiah. And the church is now has replaced the Jews. That's con-
want you to be wise in your own conceits. Because, you know, well, that sounds logical. Yeah, but that's not what God says. Because we just looked at some scriptures, but there's a bunch of scriptures that say, they're my people forever.
Yeah.
So don't get conceited, is what Paul's saying here. He says, blessed be wise in your own conceits. A hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. What's Zion?
Israel.
It's Israel, and more specifically, the mountain upon which the temple rests. Mount Moriah is on is a part of a bigger piece that's called Mount Zion, okay, in Jerusalem. Okay. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, from Israel. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they're enemies of Christians, right? They don't believe in Jesus. They resist the gospel just like any other kingdoms of men do. Any other religions of men. So in that respect, they're enemies. They fight against, they push against, right? So when it comes to the gospel, they're enemies because they resist the true gospel message. But then it says this, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. That just kind of balances it all out. There's a mystery there, and we're not supposed to be ignorant of it. We have the Jews that has been chosen as God's people for particular purposes. And they're on this sheet here, by the way. And then there's the church, the people that recognize that the Jewish Messiah, this Savior and King of the world, was going to come out of the Jewish people. Right? That's also in there. So God loves the church, and he loves Israel. Israel is wayward right now. They're not really following God the way that they need to, the way God wants them to. But they're going to come back. They're coming back. Let God deal with them, smack them around until they come to the party on this. But there's and you'll see in the scriptures, in Zechariah, if you want that sheet, in Zechariah it says they're going to look on him whom they've pierced, and they're going to cry, they're going to mourn, because, oh, Jesus was our Messiah. Oh, God. And it says, and they're going to turn to God, and God's going to receive them. That's what you're going to read in Zechariah. So, I mean, it's all there. But all of this shows to me the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, his long suffering. And if he's that way with Israel, he's certainly that way with Christians too. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that great? The kind of God we serve. We need to know God. And the truth sets us free. It breaks the chains. It breaks the fears. Truth breaks fear.
Yes.
Truth breaks ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Truth breaks lies. Yes. And there's a lot of them out there right now. That replacement theology is one of them. Because
mm-hmm.
All you've got to do is read enough of the scripture and you go, well, that's not true. I just gave you a few, and I would think you could see that God didn't throw the Jews away. Read Romans 11, verse 1. That's on this list too. There's examples there for us. And boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. The world is in darkness and getting worse. They need... This dark world needs people that are lit on fire with truth,
yes,
with understanding, with love, with compassion, with mercy, right?
Yes.
And so the more we understand God that way, the more we can ask God for that for us. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Let Him do His work in us. Mm-hmm. So Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear and a will to do, Lord, in this, and that You would help us to walk in this the right way. I thank You, Lord, today for Your word. Your word brings truth, and truth sets us free. Yes. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.